Well, God doesn't have any grandchildren. And I'll tell you, I enjoy this message so much because there's liberation here. When we see that these little ones that grew up, you know, that were so tiny in our house, and then they were a teenager, and then they were driving the car, but one day they become adult children. Uh-huh. And if we've done it right, we're going to have a great friend. And they're going to trust us and love us because we've given them their freedom with the tools to be free.
What if we haven't done it right, Darren? What if, and there are some of you who are listening to this teaching and you're saying, I just found the Lord 5 years ago and my kids were not raised in the Lord. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say to them, ask God to forgive you for not being the parent that you could have been. And then I would go to Joel, and I love this scripture that says, He'll make up to you for the years the locusts have eaten. And I think that's just great. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, when you allow God to do that, and I'm going to read this scripture exactly what it says, then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the creeping locusts, the stripping locusts, the gnawing locusts. You know, those are really demons. And what the demons and what the devil has done to your family, ask God to forgive you for not being that righteous, sanctified leader, leading those kids in holiness and a fear of the Lord and studying the Bible. And then say, God, I need you somehow to make up to me for the years the locust or the years the devil has stolen from our family.
That's right. I think there's a tendency with parents who have not been Christians and then come to know the Jesus of guilt. And so they feel like they need to undo something in their children's life. So they go and they get involved with their children when really their role as new Christians, parents of children that do not know the Lord, is still pray. Pray, pray, pray.
Well,
and let God take care of your children, even if they're outside the Lord. Let God and Holy Spirit and Jesus take care of your children.
See, I think we tend to compromise. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do is just hold the line, say, this is what Dad and Mama just found Jesus.
Yes.
And this is the way we're going to run our lives. We ask your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, it's a real important thing, I think, to humble ourselves as parents and say to our children, you know, we didn't always do things right and perfect. And we ask your forgiveness because to some degree, you were shortchanged and you may be suffering today because of the sins in our lives. We're asking you to forgive us. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything we can do to help you, we will. But now, the headship of this home is Jesus.
That's right. I see here in David's life somewhat of a scenario like that. David, by the time the 10th son came along, he knew how to teach him. Solomon came along and he taught Solomon about wisdom and he taught him so many things about a godly life where he didn't teach his first and second and third born sons who were undisciplined, they were rebellious, they were selfish, they were lustful.
And David's 10th son was who?
Pardon?
Who was David's 10th son?
It was Solomon. Yes, yes. And we see in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to look this up, 2 Corinthians 28.
You know, one of the things you're saying there, I'll just talk about Solomon for a minute. You know, he was so attuned to God in wisdom that even his dream or his thought life, his subconscious was keyed to wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when God appeared to him and gave him wisdom.
That's right.
And it was in a dream, really. It was in a vision. And I praise God for stories like that in the Old Testament because it's talking about the ways of God. And you see, when we're saturated with a love for God and with the Word of God, then we can trust ourselves even when we're, quote, asleep or out of conscious control. We can trust God to speak to us. And I love that scripture in Psalm 119 that says, I look forward to the night watches that you may teach me while I sleep. And parents, you can pray that God will speak to your children in the night.
Oh, yes.
And He will.
Amen.
Trust the Word. The Word's powerful.
As parents, we need to trust the Lord with all our heart, lean not unto our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. Because this child going from childhood to adulthood is harder on the parent, I think, more of a change on the parent sometimes than even the children. The drastic change that goes on.
You know, one of the things that you can do that's really great is to start praying over your food. And then your kids, maybe they're unsaved, and maybe it's the scenario Barb is talking about where you raised them and you weren't a believer, but now you come to Jesus and you're saying, how can I witness to my children? Here's a great way to do that. Practice praying over your food, and when your children come home for dinner, say, we'd like to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And bow your head and start praying.
That's right.
Let me tell you, I really believe they'll respect you for that. they really will. I believe God will put respect in their heart for that.
Yes. Well, I did find that scripture, and it's in 1 Chronicles 28:9. And this is David teaching his 10th son Solomon, and it says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." This is David teaching his son, you've got to know God more than anything else.
You know, there are several scriptures in the Bible that says or alludes to this. If you seek him, he will let you find you. He will let you find him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to play hide and go seek,
is
what it's saying.
No, he is not.
And he won't play that old multiple guess test, you know, that we gave as teachers. We gave that to our students. They called it multiple choice, but it was multiple guess. It's not what God's into. He wants you to know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
That's right. In the first chapter of Proverbs that Solomon did write, he says, "This is what I learned from my father, David, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion." I mean, it goes on and on, Darren, with what we can teach our children in the Word. Well, his firstborn, Amnon, David did not teach like this. He must not have.
No, well, he may have been away to war. He may have been more concerned about, you know, maybe he was an absentee father.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
Folks, we're talking about a mindset here. And children grow up with a mindset. They grow up with parameters. Even in an educational term is inculcate. I would say it in street language like this. What comes from the heart goes to the heart. Mm. The kid learns by our ways. They learn by what they see us doing in the home. Well, Amnon was undisciplined. He was rebellious. He was full of lust. But we could say he never learned to discipline his flesh.
That's right.
If he wanted, if it tasted good, he ate it.
If it felt good,
he was going to go do it.
That's right. And he was mixed up with a bunch of ruly characters. And they advised him. He was in love with his half-sister Tamar and some of his riff-raff friends. And we need to beware as parents that we don't get into bad company. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 15, bad company corrupts good morals. And that happens in our Christian lives. We need to be really aware of who we associate with as Christians. Because I'll tell you, it's going to drag you down if you get into bad company.
Now, one of the things you can set your child up to be like Amnon here is to give them everything they want.
Yeah, that's right.
Say, well, it might be easier for me to I'll just give you a credit card.
He wanted Tamar.
I will give you a beeper and a cell phone. I mean, I'm just going to make it real easy on you, and end up spoiling you. Well, don't do that.
These young men and women, what they see somebody in pants or somebody in a short skirt, they want them and they take them. And I think it's so important to teach our children self-control.
What we're talking about here is there's been a spirit of rape, a spirit of lust, a spirit of seduction ruling the earth for a long time in sin. Now here's Amnon, an undisciplined young man, and he goes in and with his off-the-wall friends, they concoct a way to set her up for
his
rape.
His half-sister, yes.
Right.
And he pretends sickness, and she comes into him to fix him his favorite meal. Here's a sister who loves her brother, and as a brother, not as a lover, and she comes in to fix him a meal because he complains that he's sick, and he takes her and rapes her. And in the Old Testament, when you were raped like this, you lived with a person that sexually
abused
you, or you go in shame. You go out in shame, and that's what she did.
The reason being, she'd been defiled, and she'd lost her virginity, and this was outside of marriage.
That's right.
And so she was subject to rejection and shunning.
So Absalom, her real brother, he caught wind of this. And in the meantime, David did not do anything. King David here is sitting on his throne. He knows what's going on, and he did not do anything. I don't understand this, but we won't go into this because it's not a real part of this lesson. But Absalom knew that there was not going to be justice for his sister Tamar, who had been raped. And so he eventually kills Amnon, his brother, and also he is killed in the process later on. David here, really, Darren, loses three of his children, Tamar, Absalom, and Amnon. What a horrible thing. And he cries out when Absalom is killed, and he says, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom." would I have done, I would have taken your place. But David was greatly grieved.
But you know, when we allow an infraction, especially a spiritual infraction, mm-hmm. to go unpunished or without addressing that,
yes.
it opens a doorway for Satan to come in and take that injustice and play that courtroom scene in the minds of her children.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up developing bitterness, hate, vengeance, murder, whatever. It causes great disrespect from the child to the parent, and it sets that child up to be paralyzed by sin, and that's what happened in this story here.
That's right. We see in Proverbs, and these Proverbs were written by Solomon, discipline your son while there is hope. So we know that there is a period of time where we have the responsibility to discipline our children, Darren, and then there's a time we don't have. We don't have the opportunity any longer. So,
well, I think what puts it well, Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there is hope.
Yes, that's
now,
right.
There's a point when it's seemingly hopeless, mm-hmm. when that child is leaving our counsel, leaving that position in our home where we have been put in charge, in a sense. If we haven't disciplined that child's mindset and helped them make decisions, and sometimes that comes through a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to let that child suffer through our discipline. And if we don't discipline them, one day our society will.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it may be through the police and traffic tickets and whatever, but they will at some point have to bow to authority.
Yes. In Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad dad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. And you looked up the word foolish, and it's void of understanding, unwise, silly, lacking discretion, or lacking wise judgment. And
well, see, I know a man, for example, that didn't raise a wise son, he raised a fool. At 16, he started wrecking cars. And every time he wrecked a car, every time he got in jail, his dad would bail him out, and he's still doing the same thing, and the kid's almost 40 years old.
And buy a new vehicle.
And yeah. keeps buying the vehicles, yeah. and dad keeps picking up the scraps.
Wow.
Dad has stood in the way of God's judgment over that boy, and now he's almost a habitual criminal and a druggie.
Mm-hmm.
And dad allows him to do drugs in his house. Parents don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
If the kid's doing drugs, throw him out.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well,
come
you
on.
Can just tell him he's not welcome.
That's
as
right.
long as he's on the drugs. But you love him, but he's not welcome. Proverbs 17:21, he who begets a fool does so to his sorrow. I believe this says, fathers and mothers, Darren, they have an obligation to train that child so that he is not a fool. We can train a son and a daughter to be wise. And if he's a fool, that is going to go on with the father and mother for the rest of their lives. If they don't choose to train up a child in a godly way, they're going to have sorrow for the rest of their lives. Most of these Proverbs say that.
Let me say this about this man that I know. He's still raising his son. And I'd say raise them when they're a child so you don't have to continually raise them for the rest of your life. And folks, come on, let's look at it this way. Someday they're going to marry or bury the old man and his wife. They're no longer going to be there. What's that kid that's always dependent on you going to do when you're gone?
You know, somehow most of them make it. Most of them do.
Well,
you know, and in fact, when mom and dad die, sometimes they really listen up and they get on with their lives.
Well, sometimes, but sometimes they don't. They end up in the gutter. They end up in the flop house. They end up, you know, just being totally dependent on society, mm-hmm. and offering nothing positive to society. We've got to change that. Mm-hmm. And if you've done that, ask God to forgive you and stop it.
Yes, we see that in Proverbs 19:13, Darren. A foolish son is a destruction to his father. And we say son here, it's written with son, but this can be daughter just as well. Son was the prominent noun used in the Old Testament.
Oh, we could say offspring.
Offspring, yes. Proverbs 19:16 says, he who keeps God's commandments keeps his soul, and he who is careless will die. That means his soul is protected and covered.
But that child is not going to automatically go with God's commandments because he was born in sin. It's like our precious little granddaughter that we just saw, 3 weeks old. She's a precious, beautiful, perfect little baby girl. But she was born in sin.
Mm-hmm.
She has a sinful nature. And her mother and father are going to have to correct that.
That's right.
And they're going to have to raise her up to know God's commandments, mm-hmm. and teach her to cooperate with God.
That's right.
And to respect God. Now, if they don't do that, they're going to be raising a fool.
That's what's giving our children roots. God gives us roots through His Word. When we receive Jesus, we're children on milk. But He gives us the Word so that we can learn to become adults in the faith. The now, same way with children.
If you see the natural mind through reason says, oh, if I discipline my children, they're going to hate me and they're going to reject me. No, just the opposite will happen. If you don't discipline your children, they will grow up to hate you and have disrespect for you. And in Proverbs 20, verse 20, it says, he who curses his mother or father, his lamp or his eyesight will go out.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that's spiritual and physical.
I do too.
Yes.
But you see, we set children up to either respect us, and what we're talking about here is an authority issue. To respect us, certainly respect the Father and respect the Heavenly Father. If they don't respect you, Mom and Dad, they're not going to respect God. And when God says, this is the way it is, these are my rules, my commandments, my ordinances, my ways. And you say, well, I've got another idea about this. I'm going to go my way. Mm-hmm. You're gone off into rebellion. You could be a fool when you do that.
That's right. So you listen to the Father who begot you. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And that's Proverbs 23:22 again.
And you know, we're even commanded to do that when they're not believers. See, if we say, well, my dad's not a believer, therefore he doesn't have anything to offer me. That's wrong. You need to listen to your father, even if he's, unless he's telling you to obviously break the laws and commandments of God, you need to listen because there's godly counsel there, even through an unsaved man.
That's right. Proverbs 28:24 says, he who robs his father and his mother says it is not a sin, and says it is not a sin that he has robbed his mother and father. He is in the company of destruction. And that's so important that we don't rob our father and our mother. Now in Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes. That means he's arrogant. He sees himself as the end result. Everything he looks through his own eyes. He's arrogant, belligerent, yet is not washed from his filthiness. There is a kind, oh, how long are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. There's a kind of man whose teeth are like swords. That means he says harsh words, and his jaw is like knives, and he devours the afflicted on the earth. We don't want our children to be like this man in Proverbs 30. And we pray that as you raise your children, those of you who are listening who have small children, we pray that you will read them a psalm and proverb a day. Get them into the Word in devotions. It is so important that we raise our children in the admonition of the Lord.
Well, if we don't put the Word of God in their hearts, it won't just somehow get there.
Yes.
If we don't teach them that respect factor and that love for God, which is really teaching them love and respect for themselves and for you as parents, it won't just automatically happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I appreciate so much the stories about Jesus and his respect for his parents.
Mm-hmm.
Even though at one point he said, I must be about my father's business.
That's right. They went to Jerusalem. He was a little boy. He stayed behind with all of the Pharisees and Sadducees in the temple. And his mom and dad went back, and 3 days later they discovered he wasn't with the children who usually are together in the band. They go back and they say, where were you? You made us sick with worry. And he says, don't you know I need to be about my father's business? Oh, what a boy.
You know, at this wedding ceremony in Cana, and I like this because this took place after Jesus was anointed with power by Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And parents, this is so important. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to be a good parent. I'll tell you, you really need it when you get to be grandparents and they've moved out of the house. Maybe they're across the country. And you need to pray with power and authority and ability of God for your kids and your grandkids. You really need to know that anointing of Holy Spirit. And it can come on your life. You need to invite Him into your life. But here we find Jesus at a wedding feast and His mother finds out that the wine had given out, and then the mother gets involved. And since you're a mom, I'll let you tell the story.
Well, she says to Jesus, they have no wine, and he says to her, woman, what do I have to do with you?
Now, is that exactly what the text says?
That's exactly what the New American Standard
woman,
says.
He didn't say mother.
That's right. What do I have to do with you? And then again, in Luke 8:20, Darren, when people have reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you, he answered them and said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And even his own family wanted to commit him at this point, Darren. They wanted to put him into an institution or into custody because they said he'd lost his mind. We cannot depend on our precious parents, as wonderful as they are sometimes, to give us instruction as adults, because they want to keep us from risking things, to going into new realms, into new lifestyles,
new ventures.
And it's like Jesus said here, he didn't take his mother and brother's word as a lot of importance in his life at this point.
Now, if you go with the Spirit of God, in other words, you decide, I'm going to be Spirit-led, people are going to say, you have lost your senses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you're really doing is you're putting your senses secondary, and you're saying, I'm going to go with what God says. I'm going to go with his ways.
That's right.
And some of them will say, like they said about Jesus, well, you've lost your mind.
That's right.
You're a dummy. You're a fool. You're all kinds of things.
Yes, you're embarrassing the family.
Well, they're going to say you're an airhead. You know, you don't look like the rest of us. Well, the reason you don't is you're going with the ways of God.
Yes.
Now, you don't have to intentionally look weird and look strange. Just go with God and go with his ways, and you will win.
In Luke 15:11, Darren, we see a story of a prodigal son. And this is one of the parables that Jesus told. He told about a man, a very rich man, who had two sons. He was a master of a farm. The younger of the sons was probably doted upon when he was younger. He was selfish. He was spoiled. And he said to his father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And this father, because I believe he was a godly father, he gave him the estate. He wrote out a check to his young son, and he let him go. And I believe as parents, we need to learn from this story to let our children go.
You know, that comes by a decision and by an act of our will. We have to say, all right, now the roles have changed. I am going to release you to go and be on your own, mm-hmm. but not totally release you in the spirit. I'm going to pray for you.
That's right.
I'm going to pray blessings on you. I'm not going to try to manipulate you or control you, because I believe I've done right here in the way I've raised you. I've raised you to trust God when you get in a pinch. I've raised you to repent when you've sinned.
Yes.
I've taught you 1 John 1:9. I've taught you how to have your sins forgiven, because you will sin.
That's right.
And the Bible
says,
so
important.
He who says he hasn't sinned is a liar. So I say this to your sons and daughters. Look, Dad is going to make mistakes, and Mom's going to make mistakes. And when we do, and when we've sinned, we're going to ask God to forgive us, because we want to be restored to our Heavenly Father. When you sin, you're going to need to do the same thing. And they need to go out of the house knowing how to do that.
That's right. This father did that to this son. He let him have his fling. He gave him his inheritance. He let him go out into the world. He let him spend all of his inheritance. And the father, I believe, was praying for his son, because when the son became clear in his mind and said, you know, it's better if I go and serve my dad at home than live like the pigs here, because he was in wealth, probably on welfare by then, and less than welfare. Yeah, and he was eating the husks of the pigs that he was working
and
for.
And besides that, it stinks here.
Yes. So he decided that he said, I will go home and I will become a hired man for my dad. And I know that the father was praying, because down the lane, the father saw this figure coming up the lane. And Darren, he knew it was his son. Now, he hadn't had any influence on his son. He'd given him his inheritance. He'd said, bye, son. But his son came back because of the father's prayers.
See, I believe, I know what you're saying there. When you say he didn't have influence, he wasn't trying to manipulate or control him.
That's right.
But the old man's God went with the boy.
Mm-hmm.
The old man's influence went with the boy, and the true heart of the father went with the boy.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid says, I'll go home and humble myself and become a servant, because it was a whole lot better there for the servants than it is here, me in the pig pen.
That's right. And this father had no pride here. He wasn't saying, hey, you got your inheritance. You get out of here. You got everything coming to you. I don't owe you anything. This father, he just wrapped his arms around him, and he rejoiced, and he said, kill the fatted calf, and here's your robe, and here's a ring for your fingers. We're going to celebrate.
Right.
My son has returned.
And he said, basically, in the scripture, it's saying the kid went out and went bankrupt and got defiled and messed up.
Yes, and some of us parents.
He laid with a bunch of immoral women, and I'm sure he came home defiled.
Some of us parents want to teach our children a lesson instead of loving them back into the kingdom.
Right.
And it's so important, Darren, to know as parents, even of rebellious children, when they turn around and they change their minds, we need to receive them in love, complete unconditional love.
You know, Barb, I want to pray a prayer here of repentance, because I believe we have parents and grandparents and friends that haven't always done it right. And they've been the smothering parents. They've stood in the way of their children. really meeting God head on and having some of those great things happen in their life of redemption and cleansing and restoration. So let's pray. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we as parents and grandparents haven't always done it right. And today we're asking your forgiveness for getting in the way of your lessons that you had planned. And you were even in process sometimes of giving to our children or our grandchildren. And we got in the way as manipulators and meddlers and controllers. And we're sorry and we ask your forgiveness. And we're asking that you would help us now see it straight, see it from a scriptural point of view, that we could be that counselor, that advisor, that friend that won't be manipulating, and that the children will be free to come. They'll know in their hearts they're free to come and see mom and dad, and that mom and dad aren't going to try to control their lives or preach at them, but will love them with the ways of the word. So, Father, I thank you right now that we are being forgiven. We do have a new mindset, and we will learn from your knee, from your word, Lord God. Thank you for redeeming us
and our
children and our grandchildren.
Thank you.
In Jesus' precious name, by power of Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. And remember the blessing that God gives to you today as his child. Yes, he doesn't have any grandchildren. Behold what love the Father has bestowed upon you, that you are called a child of his. That's so important to know that we can call him Abba, Father. He says, and I want to repeat Numbers 24 through 26. It's Numbers 6, 24 through 26. This is God's blessing on you as his child. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace today. As you listen as a parent and also as a child of the Most High God, rejoice. He loves you today.